This week, we're hearing about the political shift to the left that's taking place in Latin America. We've heard from Venezuela and Bolivia, and today, Brazil. Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva rode a wave of disillusionment into power in 2002. Brazil's first working-class president promised a more equal distribution of wealth and clean government. But critics charged that Lula followed the centrist policies of his predecessors while scandal engulfed his party. From Rio de Janeiro, NPR's Julie McCarthy reports.
President Lula's promised social reformation has been slow in coming. But Brazil is so fundamentally unequal that for the poor, even modest advances are milestones.
O presidente da República, Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva.
At a graduation for 2,000 adults who just learned to read, Lula is the rainmaker, boasting about booming exports, 5 million more jobs, and low inflation that stretches the value of the minimum wage, what many in the crowd earn.
Minha mãe era analfabeta.
Lula evokes his mother and her humiliation going through life unable to read. For an audience that's just ended its own shame of illiteracy, it's Lula's way of reminding them he is one of them. The former metal worker with a missing finger plugs into the poor, who admire his against-the-odds presidency. Supporter Edson Caxias tells me if Lula failed to fix everything in 4 years, it's because the elite blocked him. We know that 4 more years of Lula will not resolve our problems, but 50 more years and 15 more Lulas would, he says. That's what we need to set this country in the right direction. Steering Brazil is formidable. Its immense landmass sweeps through the Amazon, down 6,000 miles of coast to the metropolises of the Atlantic. This former Portuguese colony has a rainbow of complexions and contrasting lives. The World Bank says 38 million people, a fifth of Brazil's population, live on less than $2 a day. But the wealthy fill the chicest restaurants and commute in private helicopters. Brazil's richest 10% earns nearly half of the national income, whereas the country's poorest 20% account for only 2.5% of the earnings. Lula has narrowed that gap, but the inequality still falls along racial lines. Sociologist Julita Lemgruber says Brazil's long legacy of slavery has perpetuated the injustice.
This is a country that has a history of exclusion, that is divided between full citizens and second, third, and no-class citizens.
Critics charge that President Lula betrayed the very poor who put him in office. Rather than focus on social spending, Lula instead paid off IMF loans and produced budget surpluses. International lenders and investors praise Lula's fiscal discipline, and former Ambassador Rubens Barbosa says Lula had no other choice.
The Brazilian risk was too high, the market didn't trust him, and he had no alternative. He had to keep the same policies, or orthodox policies.
But Senator Cristóvão Buarque, Lula's ex-education minister, says economic orthodoxy may bring industrial development, but has hurt human development. He says the failure to spend more on education means that 30% of Brazilians are functionally illiterate, and that half of all public school children cannot read by the time they reach fourth grade.
And just one-third, 33%, go up to the end of high school. But very bad high schools.
To reverse Brazil's dropout rate, the government pays parents to keep their children in class. At this school in the state of Goiás, 450 children, half the student body, benefit from the subsidy that gives families anywhere from $20 to $40 a month. This proud parent tells me it's every mother's dream to have a child graduate. Political scientist David Fleischer says reaching 11 million families, the program also fulfills a political wish for the government.
So that program, together with others, has produced extremely strong support for Lula in the polls.
But social psychologist Nancy Cardia says Lula's administration is depriving the poor of full citizenship.
Because they are so dependent on the pittance that they receive from the government, they cannot even afford to be critical about what they're getting.
If opportunity is spotty, so is justice. The lack is clear in the clattering favelas that crouch on the outskirts of Sao Paulo. Women wash carpets this day. On May 14th, they washed blood off these streets from an execution that residents are convinced was the work of the Sao Paulo police. Officers had fanned out to retaliate for the killing of some 40 policemen. From inside prison, a criminal gang ordered its followers outside to systematically attack police stations over Mother's Day weekend. Residents say masked gunmen shot dead three young men at close range. Ana Carla Alves says the father of her one-year-old was among them.
Que ele olhe mais, ele olhe o que está acontecendo nas partes pobres daqui.
We would ask Lula to look at us. He says he was poor. He should look out for the poor. We're the ones who need him. We're the ones who elected Lula. But he's too occupied with the goings-on in his government.
A vote-buying scandal ousted Lula's top lieutenants last year. And this year, Sao Paulo's attacks, now recurring, are an issue in the presidential race where Lula's seeking re-election. He's offered troops and money. But with 6,000 homicides in Rio last year and another 1,000 killed by police, sociologist Julita Lemgruber says it's too little too late.
In the short term, we have to have a huge investment in public security because people are dying now. People are being killed now.
Critics argue Lula's foreign policy is endangering Brazil's role as regional leader and that Venezuela's Hugo Chavez has usurped it. At Lula's invitation, Chavez just joined the trade bloc that dominates the southern cone of the continent and urged the alliance to be a common front against U.S. free trade deals. International relations professor Artur Ituaçu worries that Chavez has seized the agenda.
We are opening up the agenda for Chavez for a revolution that South America does not need. South America does not need any revolution. South America does need governments generating public benefits for the population. That's what South America needs.
But political analyst David Fleischer says Lula has no interest in taking a hard line with Chavez.
It's much better to have him inside your tent than outside your tent. To this end, Brazil is supporting Venezuela's quest to become a non-permanent member of the Security Council in the next rotation.
Still, former Ambassador Rubens Barbosa says the United States can count on Lula to be a tempering force able to talk to all sides.
Lula is a moderator in the region. He's a stable factor, an anchor.
Chavez and Bolivia's Evo Morales may be Lula's ideological partners, but President Lula's policies have produced something much more middle of the road than the social overhaul he once espoused. Julie McCarthy, NPR News, Rio de Janeiro.
Julie McCarthy reflects on the people, places, and unexpected surprises she encountered during her reporting for this series. You can read her reporter's notebook at npr.org.